Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hey guys, welcome to Ireland Crimes and Mysteries, the podcast channel that takes you on a journey through the dark and mysterious side of Ireland's history. From infamous crimes to unsolved mysteries, we explore the stories that have captivated and intrigued people to this very day. Join us as we uncover the stories behind these cases. Whether you're a true crime enthusiast or a lover of all things mysterious, this is the podcast for you. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and let's explore the dark side of Ireland together. This podcast has been compiled from information gathered in the public sphere, like news articles and documentaries. Everything in this podcast is alleged unless a conviction has taken place. Today's case is one of infamy in the psyche of many Irish people, taking us back to 1985 in the county of Offaly, and specifically to a residence called Kilcoursey House in Clara, the house at the centre of the story. This house was the scene of a murder that creates questions, frustration, and deep sadness to this very day. Three key people are forever linked by this story, the main characters, if you will, and a number of supporting characters who still hold the answers or have taken them to their graves. So let's begin at the beginning. Father Niall Molloy was born on the 14th of April 1933 in Roscommon. He was the youngest of nine children. He had six older sisters and two older brothers. His father, William J. Molloy, was a successful businessman and farmer in Roscommon. He had emigrated to New York from Mayo in his younger years, but returned to go into business with his brother. He had served as an independent senator for 9 years from 1922 to 1931. The family lived on a large estate called Caharoe Park. Father Niall had a very privileged childhood and developed an interest in horses at an early age, spending long hours at the stables on the estate. This love of horses would last his entire life. He became a keen show jumper, winning his first big prize at the age of 14 at the Clare Morris Show. He attended the Christian Brothers National School in Roscommon before heading to Summerhill College in Sligo. From there he joined the priesthood, heading to the Irish College in Rome for 6 years to complete his studies. He was ordained by Archbishop Traglia at the Lateran Basilica in Rome in 1957, where his first official duty as a priest was to bless his sister Eileen. On his return to Ireland after his ordination, he worked in a number of different parishes before becoming an army chaplain stationed in Athlone. He served overseas with the army in Cyprus and was highly respected by all the army recruits. Later, after returning to Ireland and working in various parishes, he was assigned to Castle Coote, County Roscommon, as a curate, where he was very popular amongst the parishioners, who described him as a gentle man, always with a smile on his face and never raising his voice. He knew every one of the children at the local school by name. Father Niall had known a lady called Trace Brennan from a young age. They both shared a passion for horses, and over time their shared interest brought them closer, becoming very good friends. Trace was married to a man called Richard Flynn. Richard also had a privileged upbringing and had been a boarder in Roscrea, where he captained both the junior and senior rugby teams, later going on to captain the Connacht rugby team before having to retire at the age of 25 due to injury. He was planning to emigrate to America when he met his future wife. They married in 1955 and decided to stay in Ireland, later purchasing a large house called Kilcoursey House and the surrounding lands at Clara in County Offaly. Richard was involved in various businesses as well as having a chain of car accessory outlets. Richard and Trace had four children, one son and three daughters. Their children described their childhood as idyllic. In 1965, Father Niall was gifted 60,000 Irish punts, €400,000 in today's money, from his father. This gave him the freedom to pursue his passion for horses, and he hoped to secure his future by investing in horses. The Flynns offered Father Niall the use of their lands for training and stabling, and he would later go into partnership with Trays Flynn breeding, purchasing and selling horses, of which they were very successful. Trays and Father Niall had a joint bank account, and they had bought land together outside at Lone Town to enable them to add to their equine portfolio. He also had an office and bedroom at Kilcorsey House for evenings that he did not feel like driving the 1 hour journey back to the parochial house in Castle Coote. In the early 80s, Richard Flynn found himself in financial difficulty, and a plan was proposed to Father Molloy by the Flynns which would lessen his financial burden. Despite reservations, Father Molloy went along with the proposal. And sometime in late 1984, Father Molloy, along with Trays and Richard, visited Father Molloy's solicitor. They explained about Richard's financial woes and how he needed money fast, and it was proposed that they would buy some of the lands at Kilcorsey from Richard for the sum of 35,000 punts, giving him a deposit of 24,000 punts, 11,000 of which came from Father Molloy. This was subject, of course, to the approval of the Land Commission. The deposit would be given back if it was rejected. Father Molloy remained hesitant about the whole deal, but Trays spoke with him and reassured him that everything would be okay. If it went through, they would own the land, and if it didn't, they would get their deposit back. She made it sound like a win-win situation. However, in 1985, the deal was rejected by the Land Commission, and Father Niall tried on several occasions to get his money back from Richard, but all attempts had failed. He contacted his solicitor about it as he was very anxious about the whole situation and asked him to look into it and see what could be done. A few months later, on the weekend of the 6th of July 1985, the Flynn family were having a busy, fun-filled weekend. Their daughter was getting married and a marquee was erected at Kilcorsey House for the wedding reception. That day, Father Flynn was officiating at a wedding in his own parish, so he did not go to the society wedding at Kilcorsey. He also had the same mass the following morning in Castle Coote, as it was Sunday, so it made sense for him to wait until Sunday afternoon to visit Kilcorsey and see the newlyweds. He attended a luncheon in the marquee that Sunday afternoon, the 7th of July, with approximately 50 other guests, most of whom had attended the wedding the previous day. After lunch, he went out in the horse and trap and had a chat with someone while out riding. This was probably the last contact Father Niall had with anyone prior to the events that transpired later that evening. The following account of those events was given at a public inquest and are as follows. At around 1 a.m. on the morning of the 8th of July, the parish priest in Clara, Father Dignan, was contacted by a member of the Flynn family who asked him if he would call to the house to anoint somebody. Some of the Flynn children had arrived back after being out socialising locally after the wedding festivities had finished at the house. They arrived back to a chaotic scene. Father Molloy was lying on the floor of their parents' bedroom and he was not moving. Their first action was to ring the parish priest instead of ringing the ambulance and the Gardaí. When Father Dignan arrived at the house, he was brought to the bedroom and saw Father Molloy lying on the floor. He could not tell if he was still alive, but proceeded to administer the last rites to him. He stated he then tried with Richard Flynn to call the local doctor, but could not get through to him. He then drove with Richard's daughter 10 kilometres to Kilbeggan to try and find another doctor. They eventually managed to contact Dr. O'Sullivan, and he said he would go to the house. Dr. O'Sullivan arrived at the residence at around 2 a.m. and found Father Niall lying on the floor in the bedroom. After examination, he concluded that Father Niall was indeed deceased. He noted that Trays Flynn was on the floor in the bedroom and was in hysterics. He administered sedatives to her to calm her down, and then he drove her to Tullamore Hospital for further medical intervention. Before leaving, he advised Father Dignan to call the Gardaí. Richard Flynn was at this point in the sitting room in his pyjamas with his son David, who had drove from his house in Tober. He had arrived before the doctor at around 1:40 a.m. Father Dignan finally called to the Garda station, which was 1 kilometre from the murder scene, at around 3:15 a.m. There he met with Sergeant Kevin Ford and said to him, quote, "There is a priest dead in Flynn's bedroom at Kilcorsey House." He said he didn't know the priest personally, but that he believed he'd fallen against the wall and hit his head. He also stated it would be an awful scandal if it were to get out, and was there any way that the Gardaí could keep it quiet? Sergeant Ford told him this was not possible as it would have to be fully investigated. At this point, Father Dignan told Sergeant Ford that Richard Flynn had told him he was the culprit. On arrival to Kilcorsey House, Sergeant Ford was greeted by a scene he would not quickly forget. He found Father Molloy lying on the bedroom floor with obvious trauma to his head. There was blood on the walls and furniture in the bedroom, as well as the adjoining bathroom and on the banister up along the stairs. He also noted what looked like a drag mark in blood along the carpet of approximately 8.5 feet. The blood appeared to be coming from the back of Father Molloy's head. Sergeant Ford went downstairs to speak with Richard Flynn, who was sitting drinking a cup of coffee in the sitting room. He apologised to the Garda for bringing him out at such an hour, and then proceeded to talk about the wedding of his daughter that weekend. He appeared unusually calm and generally unconcerned about the carnage upstairs. Eventually he did comment on the situation, saying, "It's a messy old business." He tried to downplay the whole incident by stating he hit Father Molloy 2, maybe 3 times in the face, after he was provoked into the attack by both the priest and his wife, over the trivial matter of who would go downstairs to get the next drink. He made out it was all in self-defence, stating, "It was a stupid argument between people who had had a lot to drink," saying he had refused to go down for another drink and that Father Molloy had lunged at him along with his wife and he had hit back to defend himself. The following day, the investigation was taken over by Specialist Gardaí and Sergeant Ford had no further involvement in the case. The account given that night by Richard Flint conflicted with 2 other accounts he had given. One to Father Molloy's brother Billy when he visited a few days later, telling him the row had broken out over politics. And another account he had told Dr. O'Sullivan that the initial row had started downstairs and had continued upstairs. Immediately after the murder, all the contents of Father Molloy's house in Castle Coote were confiscated by his parish priest, Father Jones, who had everything taken to his own house. His family were denied all access to his personal belongings, including any documents pertaining to his financial affairs, for several months. It was surmised that this may be in relation to a burglary that had taken place in Father Molloy's house 8 months prior to his death. It was most unusual to have a burglary in a small rural village, and even more unusual for the local priest's house to be burgled. Father Molloy had reported it to Gardaí at the time, stating that various personal documents had been stolen out of his locked desk, as well as a small amount of cash. The cash was recovered behind the house, and nothing else was disturbed in the house except for this desk, which held his private documents. The local sergeant describing it as the most bizarre crime he had ever encountered. Suspicious, to say the least. Rumours were abound after the murder that the so-called friendship between Trays and Father Molloy was more than just friends. This annoyed his family, parishioners and close friends, as they knew Father Molloy to be nothing more than an honourable man who held up the values of the sanctity of marriage and also his vow of celibacy and would never do anything to dishonour either. Another troubling fact, according to an article written by the late Veronica Guerin in the Sunday Independent on October 16, 1994, is that no trace of Father Molloy's will has ever been found. It's stated that after a thorough investigation into the location of the will, they found that a copy had been sent from his solicitor to the bishop's office, and now it could not be found anywhere. It was rumoured that its contents stated that Trays Flynn was the sole beneficiary of his estate, a claim Trays Flynn upheld until her own death. Also suspect was the fact that Trays Flynn had tried to cash in a life insurance policy after the priest's death, in which she was named as the beneficiary. The documents claimed she was Father Niall's sister and Richard was his brother-in-law. When the insurance company asked for a death certificate and doctor's letter, they never heard from her again. Richard Flynn was eventually arrested and charged with assault causing harm and manslaughter, of which he denied both, and his trial began on the 12th of June 1986 at the Dublin Circuit Criminal Court. This trial would end up going down in history as a travesty and a gross miscarriage of justice by the family, the wider community and the country as a whole. The only account the court had from Richard Flynn of what happened was from that night, a one-page statement. He never gave another statement and he was not pursued for one by the investigating officers. Trace Flynn stated all the time when questioned that she could not remember what happened. There was little to no forensic evidence in 1985. Over time, it would be noted that the original Garda investigation was subpar, to say the least. The trial itself lasted only 3.5 hours in total and was preceded over by Judge Frank Rowe, an alleged close friend of Richard Flynn. Richard was never cross-examined and no witnesses were cross-examined except for Dr. John Harbison. The defence was also in possession of several documents of evidence that they were under no obligation to share with the prosecution, and therefore a lot of incriminating evidence was not heard by the jury. When Dr. Harbison, who had conducted the post-mortem on Father Molloy, gave his evidence at the trial, he said Father Molloy died of an acute brain swelling and acute subdural hemorrhage, consistent with receiving 5 to 6 blows to the head. This contradicted Richard Flynn's account in which he said he had struck him 2 to 3 times. Barrister Paddy McEntee, who represented Richard Flynn at the trial, chipped away at Dr. Harbison's evidence by questioning the post-mortem results. He asked Dr. Harbison could some of the injuries have been caused by Father Molloy falling. Dr. Harbison reluctantly agreed that there was the possibility of this. He also extracted from Dr. Harbison that Father Molloy's heart was not in the best condition, and asked could he have died of heart failure after being hit by Richard. Dr. Harbison said, quote, he would accede to the possibility he may have had a heart attack. He could not categorically rule out that possibility, even though he fully believed that he had died as a result of the head injuries he had sustained. Barrister McEntee applied for the charges to be thrown out after this evidence and asked the judge to direct the jury to acquit Richard Flynn. After less than 4 hours, Judge Rowe halted the trial and instructed the jury to acquit, saying, there is no evidence as to what happened except the statement made by Mr. Flynn, and on his own statement it would not be proper to convict him on either count. Dr. Harbison agreed that there was a possibility that Father Molloy died of a heart attack, and once that possibility is there, the law does not allow you to speculate and say that he died as a result of head injuries caused by an assault. On the second count of assault, Dr. Harbison's evidence makes it impossible for you to convict because he agrees only 2 blows, perhaps 3, may have been struck, that other injuries were caused when Father Molloy fell. The possibility of self-defence is undoubtedly brought into the picture by the evidence, and if only 2 to 3 blows were struck, it would be impossible to say that more force was used than necessary. So for these reasons, ladies and gentlemen, I have no hesitation in directing you to return a verdict of not guilty on both counts. He conveniently accepted the defence that Richard struck Father Molloy in reasonable self-defence, and he may have died of a pre-existing heart condition. The jury duly obliged and Richard Flynn was found not guilty. The Molloy family were astonished. The country was in disbelief. Richard Flynn had admitted in his own words to the assault. How could this happen? There was widespread condemnation of how the trial had been handled by Judge Rowe. Despite knowing both parties involved personally, he decided to take the case. This should have been the first red flag. Also, if all the evidence that had been suppressed was allowed to come out in the trial, it would most certainly have changed the direction it took, and I'm sure the jury, despite Judge Rowe's address, would have come to the right conclusion. But in the eyes of the law, after the criminal trial, Richard Flynn was an innocent man. This has caused so much hurt and pain to the family over the years. Outside the courthouse, after the trial, David Flynn, Richard's son, was interviewed. He said, it's difficult when one knows certain answers, but isn't in a position to comment. It makes it very difficult to live with. What did he mean by this statement? Immediately after the trial, a public inquiry was sought, and Mr. Alan Jukes, who was at the time the Minister for Justice, stated that the public inquest would be held. This took place in Tullamore Courthouse in July 1986. The jury at this inquest all unanimously agreed that Father Niall Molloy died as a result of injuries to the head sustained in the attack. He had no defensive or offensive wounds, but they made no finding as to who was responsible for his death. The Molloy family's fight for the truth still continues, and numerous attempts for a new investigation have been thwarted. They believe the initial investigation was substandard and the ensuing trial a joke, really. In 2014, it was recommended by a barrister to the Department of Justice not to order a new investigation by the state, as there was a significant amount of time passed and also witnesses would be reluctant to come forward. In 2015, the government backed a decision not to have a new inquiry, despite Junior Minister James Brown's highlighting a report by the senior counsel Dominic McGlynn in 2015 stating that there were shortcomings in the original investigation. After several complaints made by the family about the original investigation, GSOC, the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission, issued a scathing report about the initial investigation in 2018, stating several deficiencies, but said it was not in a position to interview retired Gardaí about the case that happened years ago. One example of these shortcomings being a gold watch that Father Molloy was wearing the night he died. The watch in question was returned to the family a few days after the murder. It had obviously been damaged, the glass face was cracked and the hands were stopped at 10:40 p.m. This was a vital piece of evidence and should have been retained by the Gardaí, but they returned it to the family. When the family questioned why it was not being kept by the Gardaí, they were told it had not been entered into evidence. The watch was now contaminated and any further examinations would be obsolete and of no use if any future hearings were conducted. The fact that Trés Flynn had tried to draw down on the life insurance policy after his death was never investigated either, or the fact that the Flynns were in debt to the revenue for nearly 400,000 punts was never looked into. They were never questioned about any of this, or about the fact that Father Molloy was pursuing them to get his deposit back for the failed purchase of land at Kilcoursey in the run-up to the murder. Father Niall was very anxious and put out about the fact he was having trouble getting his money back. All these facts were motive. His brother Billy had spent years doing his own investigating. He had interviewed various witnesses and felt he'd uncovered new information the Gardaí had failed to uncover. He also went through the courts to try and recover assets jointly owned by Father Niall and Trés Flynn, which his estate had failed to recover after his death. After many years having neglected his own personal and business life in the pursuit of truth, he decided he'd had enough and tried to rebuild his own life. He died in 1991, never having got the official truth, despite being certain he knew what had transpired that night in Kilcoursey House. Before he died, he asked Father Niall's nephew, Ian, to continue the fight for truth to come out. Trés Flynn passed away a few years after the trial and was buried at Tubberclare Cemetery, Glasson, County Westmeath. To pay off the revenue debt, Richard Flynn was forced to sell Kilcoursey House and all the land accompanying it in 1991. He later remarried in 1998. He died in 2017 in his 80s after a long illness in a nursing home in Ballymahon, County Longford. He was buried with Trés in County Westmeath. In October 2021, an RTE Investigates programme was aired about Father Molloy's murder, claiming to have found new evidence in the form of newly found documents, including a psychiatric report on Richard Flynn, in which he had recounted what happened on that night and his motives for assaulting and killing Father Molloy. His recount to the psychiatrist is in stark contrast to the Garda statement he had gave on the night of the murder. The report stated that Richard said he had headbutted Father Molloy several times. He then had a lapse in memory, but he did say he remembered hitting him on the left side of his jaw. He said he then had a blackout, and when he came to, Father Molloy was lying on the ground. He said, quote, "I must have hammered him." The psychiatrist described the attack in his report as a frenzied attack. Richard said before the attack, Father Molloy had been verbally abusive to him and stated the argument was over who would get the next round of drinks from downstairs. He said this was the first time they had ever had words between each other. At the trial, Judge Rowe was adamant there was no affair between Trés and Father Molloy, stating, "They were great friends for over 30 years and there is not an iota of evidence that there was anything improper in their relationship." The new evidence suggests Richard had a different opinion to Judge Rowe on that fact. He stated in these newly found documents that from 1961, Father Molloy stayed regularly at the family home in Kilcorsi, and in time was practically living there, often staying overnight and leaving in the early hours to carry out his duties to his parish. He said the whole family were concerned about the developing relationship, saying, Trays and Father Molloy went everywhere together. He said his father told him at one point to kick him out, referring to Father Molloy. He told the psychiatrist he didn't personally believe there was anything physical going on between them, but he had been left worried on two separate occasions. The first account being that one night he saw Trays leaving Father Molloy's bedroom and run back into their own bedroom when he returned home. When he went into the bedroom, Trays was pretending to be asleep. He went over and woke her up and confronted her, but she outright denied any of it. The second occasion a few weeks later happened when he returned home to find Trays not in their bedroom. He went looking for her, and when he opened Father Molloy's bedroom door, he witnessed them both fast asleep in the priest's bed. He again woke her up and she jumped up and ran to their room. He waited until the following morning to talk to her, where he said he asked her to leave and go live with Father Molloy. She refused to do this. Richard said he wrote off his marriage at this stage. The psychiatrist's opinion was that the row over the drinks may have triggered a sudden release of subconscious anger in Richard Flynn, causing him to attack Father Molloy. The row being the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. The bubble burst that night and the red mist descended, causing him to hit out and attack the priest. Of course, we cannot forget the other potential motive, which is also the real reason to attack and kill Father Molloy. The deposit money he was after from Richard Flynn, which we now know Richard could not afford to repay. The family received a copy of a report in 1988 compiled by a Professor Hourihan, a professor of histopathology at Trinity College Dublin. He prepared this report from medical evidence outlined in the original autopsy report from Dr. Harbison. In this report, Professor Hourihan stated without doubt that Father Molloy had died from brain swelling. His opinion was that the injury to Father Molloy's jaw was most likely caused by a shod foot. He also suggests an injury to the inside of his thigh was caused when he was already lying on the ground, and that the swelling around his kidney was caused by a severe blow to his back, most likely a kick. He also stated that Father Molloy would have probably survived for hours after the attack, because the subdural bleed was from small blood vessels with low pressure. He also had blood and fluid in his lungs, pertaining to the fact that he would have had to be breathing for this to happen. This report was handed into the Gardaí by a member of Father Niall's family in October 1988, and they were told that this was crucial new evidence which warranted the case to be reopened. The family was delighted at this prospect, but within a few days of handing in the report, they were contacted by the Gardaí, telling him that the case would not in fact be reopened. They were never given a reason why. This left the family bereft. The family were also being intimidated in the form of threatening phone calls, strange cars parked outside their homes, and even Ian Marr, Father Molloy's nephew, lost his house in a fire. He was denied planning permission to rebuild his house, having submissions allegedly repeatedly blocked by Fianna Fáil politicians. And no investigation into any of these incidents was carried out. Another article by the late Veronica Guerin, published in one of her newspaper articles, stated that the General, Martin Kahl, had stolen files from the offices of the DPP, hoping to use them as leverage in the trials of his associates. Some of these files, she said, were related to Father Molloy's case, and in them were two letters in relation to Richard Flynn, from Judge Frank Rowe to Eamon Barnett, who was the DPP at the time. She described this as entirely inappropriate and illegal for the judge to be writing to the DPP about the trial. In a book titled Martin Cahill, My Father, Frances Cahill made some revelations about Father Molloy's death, which she alleges were in the files her father had access to, stating her father said, "The priest's head was bashed in with a statue of a horse." The family have written several letters to the Garda Commissioner asking him to respond to the allegations, but they've got no response. This leads them to believe that Martin Cahill did have access to these files, and what Veronica Guerin stated was in the files must be true. In 2011, Dr. Francesca Brett, a consultant neuropathologist at Beaumont Hospital, examined slides taken from Father Molloy's brain on behalf of the family. And she concluded that he would have lived for a period of 6 to 12 hours post-injury. Ample time to have gotten him the appropriate medical help. This report was then submitted to the Gardaí. The slides were re-examined by Professor Michael Farrell in the presence of the Gardaí, and he upheld the findings of Dr. Brett in relation to the time between the assault and the death. But nothing came of these findings. The investigation was not reopened and no more was heard about the case until the GSOC report of 2018 and the subsequent RTE documentary exposing new evidence in 2021. The family have been seeking an independent investigation completely separate from the Gardaí. They feel this is the only way to get nearer to the truth of what really happened on that fateful night in July 1985 and why it happened at all in the first place. Richard had lots of motives to want Father Molloy dead, each one enough on its own merit. There have been so many twists and turns to this case. It started out relatively straightforward. The suspect had confessed. That's it. Case closed. But that was only the start. This case has more subtext to it than the best TV drama in the world. We have the financial strife Richard found himself in, the large deposit he owed Father Molloy, which Father Molloy was actively pursuing from him, the alleged affair between Father Molloy and Trace Flynn, the attempted drawdown on the life insurance policy, Garda mismanagement of the original case, the link with a well-known criminal, the confession, the judge, the trial, the aftermath. Throw in religion and politics, and you have an unbelievable story. You'd be forgiven for thinking it was a work of fiction. But that, of course, is no good to the family who are still in limbo to this very day. All the main characters in this story are dead now, but some key witnesses are still alive. Could any of them hold the key? Have we learned anything from this new evidence? We certainly got a better look inside Richard's thoughts, the possible reasons for the argument and the ensuing fight that night. Father Niall Molloy is held in the highest esteem to this very day by all his old parishioners in Castlecoote, where he is buried in the church grounds. They have such fond memories of him and his lovely smile and his welcoming demeanour. As I said already, his brother Billy died years ago. His nephew Ian has since passed too. His nephew Bill has continued the fight for justice and the truth that they so thoroughly deserve after nearly 37 years. He said the family has been left upset by the RTE documentary bringing to light these new documents and fresh revelations. He believes that Richard Flynn was a pathological liar. He stated the family was very upset by the resurfacing of what he calls false rumours of the affair. It is the family's long-held belief that Father Molloy was killed in a dispute over money and nothing else. He maintains Richard's claims are self-serving and he only visited the psychiatrist to have a defence in place if needed for the trial. He said Richard had given three different versions of what happened in the run-up to the murder. And he maintains the documents are full of inconsistencies and raise more questions than answers. He questions why the documents have only come to light now. All they do is sully his uncle's good reputation. He also asks why Richard Flynn had never confronted Father Molloy about this affair, if he had his suspicion something was going on. Why was he happy for his wife to continue in business with Father Molloy, if he had all these suspicions? He said there is only one answer to why his uncle died that night, and that is because Father Molloy had gone to his solicitor prior to his death to detach himself financially from the Flynns, as they had already taken a large amount of money from him. He said his uncle was killed over money and nothing else, and to cover it up they set about tarnishing his name. So listeners, another captivating tale from Ireland's dark side. Father Molloy, a well-loved man, a curate from a country village. He lived a privileged life but came to a vicious, premature end that July night. What really happened? Will we ever know the truth? We have heard so many different versions, but which one, if any, is the version that actually occurred? The family need answers. I hope for their sake that one day they will get the answers they so desperately desire and deserve. So guys, thanks for joining me on Ireland Crimes and Mysteries today. I hope you enjoyed exploring the darker side of Ireland with me. If you have any suggestions for future episodes or would like to share your thoughts on the cases we've covered, please feel free to leave a comment. Don't forget to subscribe to my channel to stay up to date for all my latest episodes. Until our next investigation, keep your eyes open and your mind curious.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.